drivers in Ontario. You just heard Andrea Bellmare talking about what you've been saying just a little moment ago. On Friday, they announced the details of this plan, the Ontario government, to cut insurance rates by 8% in the coming year, 15% within the next two. But how realistic are these goals? To answer that, we've connected with James Thompson. He's an assistant professor of finance at the School of Accounting and Finance at the University of Waterloo. Good morning, James.
Hi, Colin. Thanks for having me on.
You're welcome. Thanks for coming. So, James, based on what the province announced on Friday, will drivers be seeing insurance rates cuts in the coming years?
You know, I'm actually optimistic. I think two key things have to be done. Number one, they have to follow through on what they said. They have a lot of cost cutting that they want to do, and it's going to take resources, it's going to take political will, so they need to do it. And number two, they have to make sure that these things are actually passed on to policyholders.
Now, there were 6 points about how the government was going to go about lowering these rates, and basically, what are the most important ones when it comes to actually cutting them?
So I actually think three of the six were particularly important. Number one is a hot button issue. It's fraud. Fraud is embedded in everyone's premiums. If they can actually reduce fraud, they can reduce premiums pretty easily because they do actually represent a pretty decent cost. Number two is more predictable costs. So one of the issues is, and rightfully so, policyholders can actually object to insurance decisions to the government, to a regulator on behalf of the government. And because of that, that can create potential for uncertainty for insurers. So it can be very just for us to say, well, they should have paid us quicker, or they refused payment when they should have actually paid us. But if what we can do is we can create more stability for the insurer, let them know exactly when the government's going to intervene, that can actually allow them to lower premiums. And the final thing is, the government's going to take a bit more power in that they're going to make the insurers be able to justify a little bit better what their premiums actually are. And this is what's going to be key here. When the government's spending money to reduce costs, we're going to expect something in return. And what we're going to expect in return is for those savings to be passed on to the policyholders.
So what will be the biggest challenge in getting this done, to pulling this off? What's the biggest obstacle for the government?
So I think one thing we don't focus on enough is the costs of implementing these plans, right? So it's good to say that we have a certain amount of fraud. Let's try to reduce this by 100 million. And let's be really optimistic and say this entire 100 million is passed on to policyholders. The issue will be is how much is it going to actually cost us to do this? If it costs us $150 million to reduce fraud by $100 million, then policyholders save $100 million, taxpayers pick up the bill for $150 million, so we don't really come out ahead. So I think this is a risk, and probably just as importantly for the government, the risk is going to be political. If after these policies are implemented, we see record profits from the insurers, I think people are going to have something to say about that.
And how do you think the insurance industry is going to react to this?
I actually think that the insurance industry will react fairly positively, given alternative policy that could have been put in place. I see here that, you know, the government is trying to cut costs of insurers, right? So we're trying to cut costs of insurers. That's a decently positive thing for insurers. Now, the government is taking a bit more power here, but the industry is regulated. Insurers know that they're regulated. There's good reason for regulation. So I really can't see there being too much negative reaction from the insurers.
But, I mean, this is being forced upon them. I mean, they're not doing this voluntarily. They'll cooperate. Should the government be doing this? Is there a drawback to all this?
So is there a drawback of doing this? The biggest drawback was political, but I think the key thing that insurers could have got was a forced rate cut, right? So this is a bit better from the insurer's point of view than being forced to reduce their rates by 15%. The government's actually going to come in and reduce some of their costs, which can justify a 15% rate cut.
Okay. I mean, here's the other thing. We don't really know much about what goes on behind the scenes in the insurance industry. To a lot of people, it's all smoke and mirrors, right? They see it in a very cynical way. I mean, Andrea Bellmare was here just a little while ago. A lot of people are saying that, you know, they say that they're losing money, but they're jacking up the rates. They're just making money off of this thing. Do you think there's any truth to that, to what people are saying, this cynical view that basically it's set up to make more money off of us no matter what?
So, and this may not be something that most people haven't looked into, but in fact, insurers are mandated on really how much they're supposed to make. So they actually, I believe it's about 11% is what's supposed to be made in profits for shareholders right now. And, you know, that can mean sometimes they make a bit more, sometimes they make a bit less. Now, if they're consistently making more than that, then the government's got a problem, because it most likely means that, yes, they are being too soft on them. Hmm. And, I mean, so they have the power right now to indirectly set rates. They can't just say, lower your rates by 10%. What they do is they say, justify for me your rate changes. And if they feel that they're not justified, they can reject them. But the question is, is the government doing enough research to make sure that the insurance companies are actually submitting the right costs?
And what is it you think it is about this topic? I mean, this gets everybody going, right? Insurance companies are making a lot of money. We pay for it every day. What do you think it is about this thing that gets people so worked up?
So I think what gets people worked up is it's not a normal purchase for most people. When you want to go out and buy yourself a lawnmower, you can go to the various stores that sell them. And if you don't get what you want, you can just refuse to buy. Insurance, everybody is forced to buy, right? There is big fines if you don't have insurance. So, you know, we all take this very seriously. We all have to pay a fair amount each month for it. So this is why we don't like when we don't get what we want, because we can't choose the alternative, which is nothing.
All right. Thanks, James.
Thank you very much.
That was Professor James Thompson. He's an assistant professor of finance at the School of Accounting and Finance at the University of Waterloo. It's 7:20 on the Morning Edition. I'm Colin Butler, sitting in for Craig Norris. To local music fans, the name Aaron Paul is pretty familiar, but he's generally known as a drummer and a percussionist. He does have solo material out, though, where he plays other instruments and sings. Aaron's playing a couple of shows this Friday. One of them is at Waterloo Inn on Friday afternoon. Here he is with Our Life. KW's Aaron Paul with Our Life. 7:24 on the morning edition. We're about less than 6 minutes away from news. If you were in downtown Waterloo this weekend, you may have spotted an egg-shaped trailer parked around the public square. The tale of a town trailer has been visiting main streets of cities all over Ontario, recording stories from passers-by about places where they live. Here's one of the stories organizers Dave Brennan and Taylor Talbridge collected from Waterloo this weekend.
My name is Namira Hussein, and I own Tadpole Children's Shop here in Uptown Waterloo. I was born in Africa, in Uganda. I don't know if you remember Idi Amin and what happened in East Africa. So I was 5 years old when my family was asked to leave, and we stayed in Yarmouth, Nova Scotia for about 8 months or so until we found the rest of our family, because really we were scattered. We really didn't know where anybody was. We were lucky to have my aunt and my uncles and my grandmother grouped together, because really they wanted to separate all of us. So we just got on a plane and didn't know where we were going. I think I saw snow for the first time when we landed in Nova Scotia. So we came to Kitchener, and that's where I've lived. And then now I live in Waterloo with my family, with my two children and my husband. The wonderful part about owning a small business in a city like Waterloo, we just get to meet the most wonderful families and their children, and get to know them. And we meet couples who have just found out that they're pregnant and want to buy something special, and then watching these babies come back to us is really, really special, and then watching them grow. My story is sort of special in the sense that when my mom passed away with breast cancer, she promised me that I would fulfill this dream. That's a promise that I made to her. And then a year later, Tadpole was born, and the name Tadpole was also something that I've always had in my mind. So it is because of her, really, that I'm here, and I really owe my success to her. So we just celebrated 6 years in business this past April, so I feel like I think I'm on my way.
That was Namira Hussein, owner of Tadpole Children's Shop in Uptown Waterloo. Her story about Waterloo was recorded for the Tale of a Town project. Do you have your own tales to tell us about Waterloo or Kitchener, Cambridge, Guelph? Let us know. Leave a message on our talkback line. It's 519-581-0636. Well, it's 7:27 or thereabout on the morning edition, and speaking of time, the clock is ticking. Next week, many of you will be setting your alarms earlier as you go back to school or the office after a long summer break. The CBC's Sana Choi hit the streets to find out how some people plan to take advantage of the last unofficial week of summer.
I'm packing for school. I'm going away to college. It's my last week of summer, is packing.
I intend to go camping with my father, and we're trying to plan it accordingly so that it's not going to be on a rain date. There hasn't been much rain this summer, and we're afraid it's all going to be leading up to the last week. What I have done is I have gone and to a tennis camp. I'm hoping to get a lot more tennis in before the summer's out and school starts. I'm going to be going into grade 10 this year.
Oh, we want to make the most of it. Probably go away, maybe to the States. Sightsee, a little shopping. I want to take more time off than I did, but it didn't work out that way.
Do nothing and sit at home.
Are you excited for school?
Yeah.
And how are you going to get ready for school?
Doing some back-to-school shopping.
I'm a teacher. I'm going back to the classroom to get ready.
And how are you going to be doing that?
Cleaning up my room, getting my bulletin boards ready, planning some lessons, just getting ready for the kids.
The voices of some people sharing their plans to enjoy the last unofficial week of summer. Our thanks to the CBC's Sana Choi for that. I don't know about everybody else, but I mean, I intend to take advantage of the last week of summer.
What will you be doing?
Well, my property, Jackie, as you know, I mean, my wife and I just moved into the community a few months ago, completely overgrown when we bought it.
Right.
We're still trying to tame the jungle that is our backyard, so I'll be taking advantage of my wife and I both, the warm temperatures for that. How about yourself?
Well, I don't have any major plans, but the one thing that kind of caught my interest in that little piece there is the back-to-school shopping. That was always my favorite part of this time of year, was going back-to-school shopping. Even when I was using my own money and it wasn't my parents' money anymore, I just loved it. I loved the new paper, the new pencils, the new pens. It was kind of like Christmas, but nerdier somehow.
That's great.
Well, it is going to be a really nice week later on in the week for you to get some of that yard work done. We're going to get some sunny temperatures, highs of about 25, 26.